Welcome to the She Connects podcast. My name is Susan VandenHeuvel, and I am honored to be your host each and every week. This is an extension of my ministry, She Rises, that allows me to connect with women in the online space. You can learn more about me and my ministry at www.sherisesmn.org or simply tap the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive into this week's episode. Well, hey, ladies, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited that you're here. I know that I've said this a few hundred times before, but it bears repeating. It's such an honor to connect with you here in the online space. And I don't know how the Lord does it, but He allows this podcast to go around and reach people around the world. I have no idea. I'm not a tech savvy gal, but somehow it happens. And I'm grateful. So wherever you are tuning in, you belong here. We are so glad that you are here and you are going to love this week's episode and conversation. We're continuing this short mini series on women in leadership. Just before we even logged on here, we were praying for you. And so we believe already that you are not tuning in by accident, that God has something here for you. Before I go any further, I want you to meet my guest this week, my friend joining us all the way from Texas, Stephanie Anderson. Hello, welcome back to the show. I feel like, what has it been? Is this your third time here?
Hi, yes, it has. It's our third time. I'm thrilled. We're becoming better friends through this.
So tell us a little bit about you and where you're joining us from.
Yes. So last time I was on, we were living in Portland and we were serving our church there in Portland, Oregon. And the church has launched us, and Trevin and I, my husband, we moved to North Texas. So we're about 45 minutes away from Dallas in McKinney, and we have launched a church named Heart Church. So that's where we are. You're just traveling the nation with me, Susan.
Yes. Yes. Duff was telling me that it's very sunny where she is today. And I'm showing up with a stocking cap on my head because even though here in Minnesota, I mean, for the most part, it's been a really decent winter here. So we really have no room to complain, but I just feel cold today. So anyway, hopefully all the like the heat and the sun can just kind of come through here and I'll live vicariously through you right now.
We'll send it your way.
Okay. All right. So let's dive in. We're talking about being a woman in leadership. And so I'm curious, how do you define leadership?
How do I define leadership? There's a couple of words that come to mind. First one is servanthood. We're serving people, helping them. But if we want to put it in more of maybe a business term, the word that comes to mind is influence. But we have to have two other things. We have to have followers, and we need to be leading them somewhere. So if I could put all four of those things together, we're serving people who are following us where we're taking them, either to develop them, help them get to where they need to go, freedom, healing, development, and success or in a skill or something like that. So those four things: servanthood, influence, followers, direction.
Wow. Okay. So I feel like right from the get-go, we could just set aside all the other things that we're going to talk about and just sit in that. I mean, your answer could just be a whole nother episode just in and of itself, because I mean, we could like break those things down.
Totally.
Really. Wow. Yeah. So good there. Why do you think so many women don't see themselves as leaders?
Yeah, this is hard. I've been in that spot. I think there could be a number of different reasons. The first reason, maybe somebody said we weren't a leader. Right? There can like instantly, if we want to go in deep, maybe it's because when we were younger, we were hurt. We had a lot of obstacles. When we look at the world, it's crazy right now. And so we might be thinking, do I even have hope for the future? How could I help someone else? How could I serve someone else? I'm trying to help myself, right? Caring up for our mental health, setting our boundaries for our families and for trying to launch our businesses. And so I think sometimes we might look at the difficulty of it, or we may not see our value in the work that we do. And so we may not see ourselves as leaders because we don't see the value in what we're doing. But when we look in ministry, I think one of the reasons is we just haven't been exposed to opportunities to lead. Like, we may only think leadership, you can only lead in certain categories, like only on worship team or only in children's ministries, when there's many opportunities to lead. You can lead in administration, in pastoral care, you can lead a small group, you can lead a team at work, you can lead a department. Like, you don't necessarily just have to lead at the top of the organization. And sometimes I think we categorize it and we count ourselves out. But I think it's the two things: not seeing the value in where we're leading or in who we're leading, or it's just the expression of leadership. We might see it as limited, and there's more opportunities out there.
So I want to circle back to your first response there, not seeing the value in what they're doing. I think that I'm just curious what your thoughts are. I feel like that can really overlap with maybe how a woman would maybe define leadership, you know, like the preconceived definition idea of what a leader is. A leader is someone who is always on the stage. And so what I might be doing or participating in doesn't carry as much value because I'm not up there. What are your thoughts about that?
I think one of the things, I love inspiration, right? And so I want to find somebody I can be like. And I think about it maybe like just in the topic of motherhood. The world doesn't necessarily value motherhood, but that is a valuable leadership role. And so sometimes I need to go find inspiration from other moms who have gone before me. Their kids are grown. They love the Lord. And now they have children of their own. And so same in the workplace and same in ministry. When we see someone on stage, that's not the only place where there is leadership. And so we might need to find that small group leader, or we might need to find the gal who oversees the coffee station, who's doing it well, who's serving with a smile, who everyone loves, you know, the gal who's the greeter, who everybody is so excited to see her, even though she's the one opening the door for us, because we love how she leads and welcomes people into the presence of God. So I would say, if you know kind of where your station is, find that person who's inspiring. Find that person, because that person can be your leader in a sense, but then show you how to lead other people, even just by watching them. Like their goals. It's a long time ago, we used to say hashtag goals, right? Find someone who is like that you can become.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And I love that you brought up that even if you are a stay-at-home mom, you're a leader. You're leading your kids. You're leading by example. And I think you're so right. And I echo your thoughts that that doesn't seem to place, the culture doesn't seem to place as weighty of a value on that anymore. Sometime I would love to hear your thoughts about that and how, because I've been an empty nester for a long time. And so I know that you're still raising kids and just how you've seen that change and how you have maintained that what you are doing in your home is very valuable and it is having an impact in your kids' lives. Because I know that you're leading in other places too, as you said, you know, with your church and stuff, but just almost kind of swimming against the culture.
Totally.
Okay. So we've talked a little bit about some obstacles already. We're sort of opening that part of our conversation up. What do you think have been some of the biggest obstacles that held you back personally from believing that you are a leader?
For me, I was trying to, you know, for my journey, we have statistics and then we have kind of our own personal growth and our own understanding of who we are and understanding that we have a real enemy, but we also have personal development. And so I kind of, over the years, have to make sure I'm not overemphasizing one. So for example, I have found certain Enneagrams, I know some people don't like that, but certain Enneagrams, certain personality types tend to be the leaders and certain ones don't. I actually fall into a personality and into an Enneagram that I don't hear a lot of people saying, like, this is my number. And so I have found, okay, what does that mean for me? And I have found, I have incredible female leader friends. Their moms were single moms. And so they were in an environment where their moms had to work hard and their moms had to press and carried a weight. And that built something in their child, who's now my friend, a female leader. And I didn't have that. I had both my parents raising me, loving the Lord, but I did have a mom who led at church. And so even our home environment and statistics will even say like, hey, based on statistics, here is your trajectory, or based on personality, here is your trajectory. And if I have had to make sure that I don't put too much weight in statistics, that I don't put too much weight in my personality, God can do through me whatever he wants if I'm surrendered. And so then there's the other piece, and we'll like just name some things. And I've shared some of these with you before, but like for me, insecurity, that's a big thing that I have had to specifically go, God, how do I use my voice in a specific situation? And I remember and have, even when you're launching something or starting something new, the Lord's going to continue to develop. And so for me right here in this space, I'm learning, how are you, Lord, how are you developing my voice now? Because I'm going to sound different in 5 years than I do right now. And I sound different now than I did 5 years ago. And so God is doing something. And I think about Moses when at the burning bush. I was actually just speaking to an audience a couple of days ago, and I was talking about God calling Moses at the burning bush. And Moses is like, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not eloquent enough. And God said, who made man's mouth? And so it's about God qualifying us. Yes, we get training. Yes, we develop our skill. And yes, we do the research. And there is personal responsibility we take. But at the end of the day, there is a just choosing to obey the Lord and stepping into those opportunities that God has called us, regardless of how we feel. And whether I feel like I'm going to be good enough, that has to step to the side. I have to put that feeling to the side. Fear of people, again, right? Thinking, what are they going to think? Am I going to get canceled in cancel culture? I'm going to have to decide that I'm going to move forward anyways.
Yeah.
I can't let those things or people, and sometimes it's me assuming, right? Like sometimes I'm wrong when I'm worried, is somebody going to be for me or not? Sometimes I will judge incorrectly, and that person really is for me, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are big battles, I think, for a lot of women. I know other women, again, myself, I would identify with pride and with jealousy, where I'm sitting here thinking like, what do I think needs to be done? What do I think should be done? Am I taking myself too seriously? Am I taking my calling too seriously? I need to pause and put Christ as number one, my relationship as number one, not my calling, right?
Yeah.
And so some of those are the biggest obstacles where we can kind of get so zoned in on what people are thinking, or if we're not good enough, or, but we're called to do this. We actually can begin to limit ourselves because we're emphasizing something instead of going, God, I'm surrendered. Do whatever you want through me. I'm going to get skill. I'm going to get training. I'm going to be developed, but I'm going to also be surrendered and see where this goes. See what new thing God could do. Because Ephesians 3:20 tells us he can do more than we think or believe or imagine. And so if we're so, like, if it has to be a certain way, we can miss out on some of the more that God wants to do in and through us. So those are some of the obstacles I've faced that still will face. I don't think those are ever going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I have freedom, but it doesn't mean the obstacles won't go away. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. I think for me, as I listened to that last part of what you shared, those thoughts, those old things that I've had to work through, they still show up.
Yeah.
And so I think that for me, it's not like overly emphasizing them and spending so much time on them and then thinking, oh my goodness, I'm still bound. I'm still, you know, I'm still captive to these things, and reframing that and understanding, okay, so I understand that these things are still going to show up. And so what I need to do is, instead of trying to strive and work really hard so that they don't show up in my life anymore, I instead can learn how to keep going anyway,
Yes.
You know, instead of trying to avoid, in, you know, and instead looking at it like for fear, for example.
Yes.
Okay. So fear is going to show up. And so instead yes. of trying to avoid, work really hard so that you don't have fear in your life. Instead, with God, learn how to face that giant of fear and still mm-hmm. move forward regardless. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like taking the tools that we learned from the last season when we were facing fear and now going, okay, I was given tools in a previous season. Let's use those sooner, right? Now we're a little bit more skilled in the word with our sword of the spirit. We have that helmet of salvation on, right? So we're having that preservation of mind, the sound mind, the clarity. We're growing in discernment, growing in wisdom. And so we've got equipped in a previous season. And we're able to move in a little bit quicker. And so we can continue to advance at what God's doing and maintain the freedom that we found. It's just standing in victory, right? That yeah. Ephesians 6, having done all, stand. And so it's right. just standing rather than panicking. Oh, I'm not free. I thought I was free. It's no, this is what freedom looks like now. It's standing when that stuff comes around because we live in the world. Right. We live where there's sin. We live where Satan is the ruler of this age. And so it's now we're standing
mm-hmm. yeah,
on Jesus.
Yes. Amen. And then I want to circle back to something else that you said about statistics and things like that, because I think that's so important to remember that we are not a statistic. That's yes. not our identity. And then I would even go as far as to say, we're not some diagnosis. We're not, you know, yes. a label, or we're not anything like, we are everything that Jesus mm-hmm. says that we are. Our identity mm-hmm. is found in him. And so I think that even when we apply that to being a woman in leadership, in whatever capacity we might be leading, we don't stop being a leader if we're not filling a particular role in this establishment, this corporation, at the local mm-hmm. church. We are still leaders in, you know, different areas of our lives. And so that we don't check that at the door when we, yes. Maybe God is closing a particular season. And so, oh, I'm not a leader anymore. Like mm-hmm. that is still a part of who you are and a part yeah. of how God created you.
Yeah. And it's so true that you say that, because there's two ways that we lead. We lead personally, we lead ourselves, and then we're leading others. And so just because a season might change, right? We close a door to a job. We might be not leading in a certain capacity. We're still leading ourselves, and we still have people around us, whether that's friends, that's spouses, that's children. It could be your neighbors. If you are still working, or maybe it's a passion project, a hobby, you can still lead people closer to the Lord. And we're called to do that. We're called to make disciples. And so that kind of lends itself to leadership in that sense as well. And so we will always have that responsibility. We always have that purpose of extending the kingdom of God, teaching people the Bible, how to live for God, and what that looks like really practically. And so just because it looks different doesn't mean we're not leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. Oh, really, really good. This conversation is just so rich. I love it. So just kind of a hot button question here. So it's a loaded one, but let's talk a little bit about leaders who are insecure, and that's how they lead, is from that mm-hmm. insecure place. Oftentimes they will hold others back from stepping forward because they're insecure about their identity in Christ and their role as a leader. And so I'm just curious if you've ever experienced that, and how did it affect you? How did you overcome it? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. See, that's so important about kind of like picking up where we are and where we're going. Maintaining freedom, right, as a leader through the different seasons, and learning how to steward our freedom, learning how to steward that place of victory that we've been given by Jesus. For me, when I was in a situation, yes, I have absolutely experienced that, and how it affected me, there's kind of layers to it. But the first thing is I went and got help. I asked a gal she was an elder in the church. She's been in ministry for decades. And I said, hey, I need help, because the thing that I knew I needed help with was guarding my heart. And I needed somebody, because I remember like telling her, I'm like, I'm so mad, I'm so jealous. There was a specific situation and I was so angry and I needed help, like hot tears, ugly crying. And I needed her response when I shared the ugly. She said this, she looked me in the eye and she said, I am so proud of you. That line changed my life, because it wasn't like, okay, now let's deal with it. And now it's time to repent. She paused at this moment where I am able to look back and go, oh my gosh, that's humility in action, right? Saying, I need help here because there's stuff going on that's going to hurt me, that is hurting me. And I want to be somebody who's healthy regardless of what's around me. And so I actually got help. And so I recommend that's where you get a counselor. That's where you get a mentor. That's where you have somebody you trust where you can say, here's the ugly stuff. Mm-hmm. Because you want somebody who is also following the Lord, somebody who's also surrendered to the Lord, who can talk back. So I love books. I love podcasts. And I listen and I read so much. But the gift of having somebody be able to talk to you, to talk back to you, is to say, I'm proud of you for owning this stuff that's in your heart that's yucky, and saying, Lord, I got to carry this to the cross, but I don't know how because I am so in this. And so that the first thing like I did, I got help. And I kind of see it in two different ways. How do I overcome it? What do we do with insecure leaders who are dangerous, right? Who there is toxic leadership. How do we do that? I have to ask the Lord, what is my calling and what is my purpose? Because if it's an insecure leader who is untouchable, I don't want to sit at that table. Mm-hmm. And I want to be used by the Lord. And if I can see that something is going to harm me, if I can see that something is going to harm my children, my home environment, if something is going to affect me, I need to make sure, God, have you called me here? If it's up to Stephanie, I'm going to look at it and go, this doesn't look safe. But this is where I kind of like look at the other side too. This is where I say, God, have you called me to this table to sit and to serve? Because I will say this, it is an honor to serve a leader who is being strengthened and restored. And that is a calling that not many people get, to be so close to somebody in an area of weakness. Like I think about Moses, and forgive me, I don't have the scripture, but the children of Israel, they're in battle and he's standing on the mountain and his arms are raised and he needed somebody to look at the same thing he's looking at and hold his arms up, because he wasn't strong enough to keep his arms up, because the word was, if you keep your arms up, you're going to have victory. And so he needed somebody to be there to carry a weight, but was seeing all the mess and the destruction that he was also seeing. And so there's part of it that I say, like, God, have you called me to this place to serve someone who you plan to restore, who the Lord knows their heart and he plans to restore them and bring them freedom. And if God wants to use me to be a part of that, that is an honor that God would. I'm honored that God would pick me to think of in my own perfection, in my own flaws and my own weaknesses. And so that's where I say I got help, because I wanted to be useful where God had placed me. If he doesn't say to move, I don't want to move, but I'm definitely not going to stay in a situation that's not healthy if the Lord's not saying, hey, you have to stay here. Does that make sense?
It does, totally. Yeah. And as I'm listening to you, I want to say James 5:16, I think mm-hmm. it is, where, I hope I'm getting that right. And I'm paraphrasing here, you know, confess therefore to one another yes. that you may be healed. Yeah. And we know that our wise counsel, our mentor, they're not the healer, but there is mm-hmm. something. And I think I'm just really, you know, embracing what you're saying, healthy community, sitting with yeah. someone, it's that iron sharpening iron, someone yes. maybe that is a little bit further ahead in their faith and their experience mm-hmm. that can help you to be able to see, remind you of what is true. And I think holding that safe space where you can be vulnerable and share your heart. I'm mad about this, and I'm struggling to forgive, and I'm, you know, just I'm being able to share these things, because I think that, well, first of all, I'm a firm believer that isolation is just the devil's playground.
100%, 100%.
And God created us for community. And so if we're feeling like we just want to withdraw and we don't want to be a part of something anymore, I would humbly encourage the listeners to go to the Lord and maybe even reach out to someone that you trust and invite them to speak into that. Yeah. But getting back to what we're talking about, I think that being with someone that's holding safe space for you allows you to be able to process things. They can help you pray. They can help, you know, kind of come alongside. Because the thing is if we just hold on to that unresolved anger and that offense, and then we're hurt because, you know, this leader said something or didn't say something or whatever the case is, we will always filter things through that unhealed or that unoffended place in our hearts, because it hasn't been dealt with. And so we will hear things that wasn't necessarily said, because it's being filtered through that.
Yeah. And we need people who can help us remember, specifically in ministry, we're playing the long game. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And sometimes just in our lack of experience or in our immaturity, just new to the role or new to ministry or the decade of life that we're in, right? New to that season, we might want to throw in the towel too soon just because of being hurt or just because of something is hard. And so we need somebody to look and go, you're going to look back and go, that's actually so small. Because of other battles you're going to go through, because there is more inside of you that God is going to strengthen you and prepare you for to give you bigger victories. And so sometimes we need that person to cheer us on and go, you've got this, you can do the work of forgiveness in this, because you're going to be in other positions where the Lord is actually going to shine because of this forgiveness lesson.
Yeah, so good. And I think also being reminded that God doesn't waste anything.
Yes.
And so even, you know, as we're talking here, even the challenges that come with serving and being in a capacity of leadership, he doesn't waste those challenges and those things that we're experiencing. And so I'm just kind of, you know, transitioning into understanding that piece of challenging in our challenges in leadership, and how can we grow even in unhealthy environments? Mm-hmm. Because we can.
Yeah, it's possible. I do think it's possible to grow in unhealthy environments. Sometimes we want seasons to match a location, right? And sometimes they will. Like, if we'll bring it down to like a kid level, and you're in elementary, you go to an elementary school. When you're in junior high, you go to a junior high school, right? And so sometimes we might think seasons match locations, but you could actually be at a location for a very long time and have various seasons of development and have various seasons of being used by God. And so when I think about how can we grow in an unhealthy environment, first, I would say, and I did this, so I know that this is possible, but it's hard. That's why I'm going to say it's the first thing. Find healthy outside voices to speak into your life. And that can be tricky, because finding any outside voice who justifies our perspective is very easy. So to find an outside voice that is healthy is the thing that we really want to make sure we're focusing on. Somebody who is healthy, somebody who is founded in the Word, somebody who understands business, somebody who understands what we're really trying to do. I would say some spiritual practices are being diligent, staying in the Word and praying, not just, Lord, give me wisdom, but Lord, please develop my discernment. And that happens by being in the Word. I would say serve, but really practically serve with boundaries, especially if you're treated like a servant and not like a friend, because that will really show, you know, are we really serving? Do we really have a servant's heart when we're treated like a servant and not treated like a friend? Really practical things. Get out and have fun. Find people you can enjoy. Find books that you can read. enjoy food, like go and enjoy some really nice dinners, have fun weekend getaways. And then to bring it back to the spiritual, like put on your helmet of salvation, because salvation brings us a preservation of mind. It's what brings us a sound mind. And we have to be in the word for that to work, but it gives us clarity of mind, because in unhealthy situations, things can get really cloudy. They can get really muddy. And for me, one of the things that I had to learn in a particular space was to delight myself in the Lord.
Wow. Yeah.
And to worship and worship. Think of your salvation going back to the cross and smiling when you worship and remembering that He is our great exceedingly reward. He is a treasure. His word to us is a gift. And so starting spiritual, pack it in with fun, make sure you're getting rest and taking care of yourself, and then go back to all those spiritual pieces to kind of well-round ourselves. So we're not overdoing it practically, but we're also not overdoing it religiously and having like a religious band-aid. I think we need both spiritual and practical to grow and be healthy in a difficult environment.
Oh, that's so good. And would you say that how we lean into those challenging seasons determines then how we enter into the next season?
Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
Too.
We think about doors that we're entering. I'm listening to a gal, her name is Rachel Hickson, and she is at Heart Cry for Change in the UK. And one of the things she said about this year, everybody's talking about doors, prophesying about doors 2024. But the word that God gave her was, remember to close that door of 2023 gracefully. Mm. A lot of people want to say, I'm done with that, we're over it, and slam the door and into the new year. And she said, it's not just how we leave a season, it's how we enter a season, but how we enter a season does reflect how we're leaving a season.
Yeah.
And so to close those doors gracefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to something that you also mentioned, making sure that we're not quitting mm-hmm. on a season prematurely, mm-hmm. because yeah. we want to make sure that the Lord is the one that is releasing us, that yeah. we're not just throwing in the towel because we're mad or we're mm-hmm. hurt, we're offended. I think that that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we hear it said this way, like, people will quit before the breakthrough.
Yeah.
And sometimes when the Lord wants to develop, the Lord develops leaders in spaces that are difficult. Leadership is not easy. And so to become a leader isn't going to be easy. Developing the leader is, we develop our leadership in spaces where there's going to be pain, in spaces where there is difficulty, because it flexes those leadership muscles of decision-making, of discernment, those different skills that we need. And then also learning to rely on the Lord in those leadership spaces, because we could get too far out and be like, wait, where's God, when He didn't say take a step yet? And so learning to walk in step with the Lord, learning to obey in spaces where there's pain. And it sounds like, hey, God, are you going to move in this place? And learning to still obey in those spaces and not quitting before God does something. And there's a level of humility to that too, because we might think we deserve a certain outcome. Mm. And so we need to make sure that we're pursuing the Lord, not a specific outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because He is the one who's going to put us in the opportunities, and He's going to give us the opportunities based on our character. He's going to qualify us, right? Yeah. He's going to give us opportunities. He's going to help us get there in His timing. If we don't want to be outside His timing.
Yeah.
We don't want to be outside when He says go. We don't want to jumpstart it. He is patient if we're nervous, right? But we certainly don't want to get ahead of God. We want to walk in step with God.
Yeah, so good. And as we're talking, you know who immediately comes to mind is Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in prison, there was a lot of character development, a lot of refining, a lot of pressing into the Lord. Man, wow. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between developing others and directing others. One comes alongside a person to help develop their leadership. The other can feel like we're simply cogs in a wheel helping someone reach their goal. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it depends on the person, whether it's that person who is serving or being developed, right? The team member or the leader. So I would kind of say different things depending on who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to the leader, I would ask, you know, let's say a leader is coming up to us and saying, hey, there's an individual on my team and they are feeling like a cog in the wheel. What do I do? I would stop and first, awesome that you're hearing them, right? Giving them a space to share their feedback, to share what's going on. But I would actually ask them, what's missing? Is there something missing in the relationship? Are you reminding them that their role is valuable? Are you appreciating them? What are you placing value on? Because what you place the value on as a leader, people are going to move towards that. But if I'm talking to a team member, I would want to know a little bit more. I'd want to kind of discern what's going on inside of their heart. Have they been hurt serving before? Are they above serving in the role that they're in? Or again, do they not see the value of them serving where they're serving? And so, because I think about as a leader, like kind of going back to the definition of leadership, we have to lead people somewhere. So there is leadership development and there is directing people, right? And so there is that space of we lead with vision, we're leading people somewhere. And I will direct somebody, training them, equipping them, and then releasing them. And that is kind of giving them a direction to run in. And there's development all through that. I think the key piece is there a relationship between the leader and the team member? And is there value? Do they know that what they do is valuable? Is the leader placing value on that? I think that is the difference maker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wholeheartedly agree. They can be just go in tandem. You know, we're helping to develop them and just really kind of reinforcing everything that you just said, making ourselves available, you know, and helping to give some guidance, give some direction, give them some resources if that's what they're asking for. And if they're humble enough and eager to want to learn and to grow, you know, they come to us and they recognize an area that maybe they want to grow in, become stronger in, a more confident leader in a particular area. Kudos to them that they, you know, they felt like they could approach us. And so let's help develop them by also directing them and giving them, you know, resources and speaking into their lives, asking the right questions. And yeah, so I think that that's so good. And I love that you mentioned the relationship piece. I think that's really important there, which I think that can keep that mindset of, they don't even see me as a person. They don't value me. They just are more interested in what I can do for them rather than about me. And so for me personally, I like to ask about their family, you know, how are your kids, you know, and your daughter was in that dance competition and how did that go? Yes. And just like, and it's not just phoning it in, but it's genuinely being interested in them as a person that, you know, their family matters to them and you genuinely being interested in the things that matter to them as well.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I love about social media, because you can serve the people on your team by checking up on them, seeing did they post that they were sick over the weekend, or are they moving into their new house, or has the baby finally come, or something like that. You can see kind of where they're at and then check in on that. And the other thing I was thinking about that I didn't mention is for the team member, are they discouraged? Is the enemy trying to keep them from doing a good work and to do a meaningful work? That could be a thing where we need to now go, okay, the Holy Spirit's trying to actually discourage me from doing something well and from doing something that's making a difference. And so sometimes even having, so I want to throw that back in there because I didn't say it, it just came to my mind, because maybe there's a listener who's discouraged and she needs to tell the enemy to close his mouth because God's doing something incredible inside of her.
Yeah, so good. So whoever you are, the Lord wanted you to hear that. That was really good. Finally, in learning the importance of helping develop others in their leadership, how do we keep from promoting a person too soon? Because you know, we understand that the Bible says your gift makes room for you, but it's your character, you know, that keeps you in the room. And I think, I know for myself over the years, I love just calling out potential and calling out gifts and things that I see in other people. I love that. I'm just like down into the fiber of my being. I just love championing people forward and helping do whatever I can to get them started and all of that. But I think that also it's important to use wisdom. And so tell me what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, kind of jumping off of where we were just at, relationship is so important. Right? If we can see the season that we're in, if we can see the fruit in their life, do they have fruit from previous seasons, from previous initiatives, previous launches? Do they have fruit, healthy fruit in their marriage? Do they have children, healthy job relationships, healthy work ethic with healthy, you know, references from previous work experience? And building relationship is so key to that. And sometimes we can just quickly hire someone or just get somebody on the team because we are so tired and there's so much in our schedule and there's so much on our plate, and relationship will kind of guard that. And if we really care about the person, we're not going to put them in a place that they're not ready for. And I think about, you know, what is our motive, right? Because I go back to myself when I think about this, what is my motive for getting somebody on the team? Is it just to make my life easier? Or am I building somebody to reach their full potential? And this is a space they will thrive in. And so I kind of want to check my motives on why am I promoting somebody and why am I giving somebody this space, right? I pray for discernment, asking other people for input. If there's other people on the team, hey, would you like to work with this person? If this person oversaw this team that you're working on, would you like to work with them? Or, hey, if this person was on our team as a team leader, what do you feel about that? And asking the Lord to give us more questions, more opportunities to learn and build relationship with that person, because I want to do what's best for that team member. I want to do what's best for that developing leader. And there's, speaking of the word developing, there's kind of a tension when it comes to promotion, because we can either hire someone who's already trained, already have their own ideas about it and their own philosophies. And then we start to butt heads because we didn't realize they knew so much they wanted to do it their own way. Mm-hmm. Or we can hire somebody who needs to be trained, needs to be taught theology or philosophies, how we're going to do our these different methods and stuff. But it's a lot of work to get them to that place where they can do that leadership role on their own two feet. And so there's a little bit of that tension of promotion. And so we want to find somebody who's teachable, right? Because I don't want a robot. I don't want somebody who is just going to download what I say and be a robot. I want them to follow the Lord. And so I'm thinking about in promotion, am I building somebody?
Yeah.
Am I building them to follow the Lord and what he has for them in this next season? Or am I trying to accomplish something else, like get something off my plate? And relationship, I think, really helps with that. And time.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. And I think that actually what you're saying can go back to the last question that we talked about and people feeling like a cog in the wheel, mm-hmm. taking us as leaders where we want to go. And to your point, that motive, you know, why is it that I'm extending this invitation? Is it because I'm just looking for a body to fill a spot, you know, because I have too many moving pieces, or, you know, so that motive is so key, I think is just so important. And I also like to consider there are things that I am hoping that they will come already with, because there's certain things that I can't teach, like it has to be within the individual. And then there's other things that I can help, you know, help educate them, help disciple them, help, you know, develop them in their role. And so I think that's also something to consider. But this has been such a great conversation. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with the listening community?
Yeah, ladies, if there is someone around you, just look around and almost like a of Ruth and Naomi, go find someone, say, Lord, who do you want me to pour into? Who do you want me to help build her life so she can become all that God has called her to be? You're a leader. And I want to encourage you, you're doing a good job. Leadership is hard. You're doing a good job. Stay close to the Lord and keep pouring into whoever it is that God is helping you identify to pour into. Keep going and keep doing the good work. It's hard, but you've got this. You're anointed. You're called. There's a purpose for it. All the things that God has in front of you. You've got this.
Yes, I echo that. All of what Steph just shared, your labor is not in vain. God sees it. It's not lost on him. The long hours, the challenges, all of the things that come with it, it matters to him. You matter to him, and everything that you are extending your hand to, he sees it has value and it matters to him. Mm-hmm. And so we pray that this episode was encouraging to you, that it championed you forward in your leadership, wherever you may be leading, that it just really fanned the faith within you. We need you.
Yes.
And we're so grateful for your one obedient yes to the Lord, because what you're carrying, the body of Christ needs, the world needs, and it adds value wherever you are. So keep going. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We're again so glad that you were here, and it was our honor to connect with you. Have a great rest of your week, and I will catch you right back here next time.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. It was great connecting with you. Hey, would you do me a quick favor that would mean the world to me? Would you go ahead and leave a few stars and a review or even a comment? It not only means so much to me, but in the online space and the podcasting world, the more stars, reviews, and comments that a podcast receives, the further the reach. It ranks up a little bit higher in Google searches, which then results in reaching more women with this amazing content. So if you are blessed and enjoying, you know, just the content that you are hearing here on the podcast, would you go ahead and leave a few stars, a review, and some comments? It means the world to me. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you right back here, same place, same time next week.